From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the final portion of a message entitled Instructions and Infallible Proofs of Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Today's devotional is entitled Because of Us. The text is Matthew 24, verse 22. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For the sake of his elect, the Lord withholds many judgments and shortens others. In great tribulations, the fire would devour all, were it not that, out of regard to his elect, the Lord damps the flame. Thus, while he saves his elect for the sake of Jesus, he also preserves the race for the sake of his chosen. What an honor is thus put upon saints! How diligently they ought to use their influence with their Lord. He will hear their prayers for sinners and bless their efforts for their salvation. He blesses believers that they may be a blessing to those who are in unbelief. Many a sinner lives because of the prayers of a mother or wife or daughter to whom the Lord has respect. Have we used aright the singular power with which the Lord entrusts us? Do we pray for our country, for other lands, and for the age? Do we, in times of war, famine, pestilence, stand out as intercessors, pleading that the days may be shortened? Do we lament before God the outbursts of infidelity, error, and licentiousness? Do we beseech our Lord Jesus to shorten the reign of sin by hastening his own glorious appearing? Let us get to our knees and never rest till Christ appeareth.
Champion to make you with your right name.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, let The Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Here we see how Christ prepared his disciples for the work which lay before them following his ascension to heaven. Before they could know God's visitation in power, they needed a vision of Christ in all his fullness. To that end, the Savior instructed them in three essentials: his resurrection, his person, and his requirements. The resurrection of Christ is the basis and foundation of our faith. Then Christ revealed to them the glory of his person, including his sufferings and his sovereignty over death. Finally, he set before them the requirements of his service. They were to preach the kingdom of God and to evangelize the world for Christ, using the way he had given them, the gospel of repentance and faith toward God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Instructions and Infallible Proofs of Christ.
When the Lord Jesus was risen from the dead and he was about to send forth his Spirit upon the people to form the New Testament church, to send them out to the uttermost parts of the earth, according to chapter 1 and verse 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, to send them right out to the ends of the world to establish New Testament churches among the Gentiles, what did he talk to them about? He talked to them about the kingdom of God. And what was that? It was exactly the same thing that he'd been talking about in his earthly ministry. Matthew 13, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. Mark 4 and Luke chapter 8, he gives the same parables, and he calls them the parables of the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, in this connotation certainly, have exactly the same meaning, and the same scope, and the same emphasis. So the Lord Jesus is talking about the kingdom. I'm emphasizing this morning because I want to strike a blow for old fundamental Protestant theology here, that there is one Christ and there is one gospel and there is one way of salvation and there is one blood atonement and there is one body and one bride and one elect and one church. I want to emphasize that. These people who talk about the kingdom being offered say the gospel of the kingdom was preached from John up until the coming of the Holy Ghost. And then, after the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of the grace of God. In fact, there are seven different gospels. Did you ever hear such drivel, nonsense before? Yet this is what has been foisted upon fundamental people and Bible believers. My friend, let's get it clearly. There is one gospel. The gospel of the grace of God, according to Acts 20:24, is what Paul preached. The gospel of the kingdom, according to Acts 20:25, is what Paul preached. They are both exactly the same thing. I want you to understand this morning. The Lord Jesus, when he sent the disciples out to evangelize the world, to preach the gospel, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to establish New Testament churches, he sent them out with the message of the kingdom of God. That's what he talked to them about. He explained that. I think surely when he was talking about that kingdom of God, he must have spoken about the environment of the kingdom. He was bringing them back to what he had taught them in Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 4. It's a kingdom that's in the world. The popes would need to have learned that. When they set up their monasteries and their nunneries and they took people out of the world to make them holy, the Lord Jesus says the kingdom is in the world, grows in the soil of this world. It's a hostile soil, but it will grow anyway. It's not of the world, but it's in it. He spoke to them of the enemies of the kingdom. You remember in the parables of Matthew 13, he emphasized the work of the devil, the wicked one, comes to snatch the seed away, comes to sow tares among the wheat, to weaken the testimony of the people of God. Oh, there are enemies of the kingdom. We need to be aware of those enemies today. The apostles went out to work and witness, and they weren't going out like wee boys with their eyes shut, or they weren't going out with stars in their eyes not understanding what they were about. They were going out to realize they were establishing a work for God. They were in an environment that was hostile. They had enemies that were strong. They went out to face those enemies. But thank God he did speak of the establishment of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom must prevail. It must prevail. And it will prevail. Thank God we're going toward the harvest. Thank God the day of reaping is fast approaching. Thank God the Lord is establishing his work and his witness. There's a great doctrinal significance in that he spoke of the kingdom and gave commandments. There's also a great practical significance, spiritual significance for God's people. As we close the service, I want you to have in your mind the picture of the disciples gathered around the feet of the Lord Jesus. He was giving them commandments, telling them what they ought to do, telling them the way ahead, giving them His instructions. Every Christian worker needs to be taught of the Lord. I'll be the last to decry the need for training for God's servants, having spent 15 years of my life trying to train preachers in the field of theology. I'm not going to decry it or play it down. They need to be treated. My friend, let me tell you something that's much more important than a college course or a seminary course, is to be taught of the Lord. I know people, and they have plenty of education, and they have plenty of brains, but when it comes to being taught of the Lord, they're illiterate. Let me give you an example. Back home, we had a church, we still have it, thriving, going well, knowing God's blessing. But it's in a very difficult position. It's in a wee village. I think I mentioned it before, fishing village, where if your great-grandfather had fallen out with my great-grandfather, it would mean our families would still be at war to this day. Tough place to build a church. It's also full of about, I think, four or five different kinds of brethren assemblies. If you don't know what brethren assemblies are, I'm not trying to enlighten you at the moment. Difficult place to build a church. Reverend John Douglas there labored for many years, hard, saw very little done, and then the Lord broke. I had the privilege of being there as the evangelist at the time when the Lord really did come down and bless him. God gave the fruit for Mr. Douglas's many years of faithful labor, and he continued on there for a year or two after that campaign, and the church was really flourishing and building. He then moved on, and the devil began to struggle and fight against the work. Cut a long story short, other students went there, became ministers, all the rest of it. I think of two men. One, as far as his IQ went and as far as his brains went, had everything. The other had been a manual worker when God called him into the ministry, and he had to slog hard and sore to meet the minimum requirements to come in to study in the theological hall, and had to work hard until almost his whole constitution came to a standstill when he was in the theological hall in order to get the passes and the grades every year. One had great academic achievement, and the other had little. But the one who had little academic achievement was taught of God, and in that respect the learned man was a fool. When it came to preaching and handling the word of God and handling the people of God, one man wrecked the church. Wrecked it. The less learned came along with the anointing of God, and he built it again. And today that church is a thriving church, doing a good work for God. Every Christian worker needs to be taught of God. You'll not learn of God in this respect in a college classroom. What you learn there is important. My friend, there has got to be the time when on your knees you spend time with the Lord Himself. Now, I'm emphasizing it. We have a lot of young people here who either are studying or will be studying. And I tell you, one of the greatest dangers of studying at an advanced level is that you can be so much taken up with studying things on the periphery, on the circumference, that you miss the Lord Himself. Make sure of that. You're taught of God. You must be taught of God because God's work must be done in God's way. You might say, well, now, that's the way forward. You'll be all wrong. You go that way, you'll fall flat on your face. When I came to this church, I deliberately asked that I would not have my ideas, that I would not come with my preconceived notions, that I would not say, now, this is the way I want it, so therefore it's going to be done that way. I came to this church asking the Lord that He would give us direction. And I believe from the very first prayer meeting that I conducted here, that the Lord has given us direction. And I believe we're moving in the center of God's will. That gives me confidence. For God's work must be done in God's way. He said, Isaiah 55, verse 8, that His ways are not our ways. They're higher, infinitely higher than ours. We must learn of Him and do God's work in God's way. Furthermore, every Christian worker must be given his particular place in the work by the Lord. An awful lot of people would need to learn that. My father-in-law was among those people that I have mentioned called brethren. They don't have an ordained ministry. I think they're unscriptural in that, but they don't have an ordained ministry. They have full-time evangelists, but they don't have full-time pastors. They leave their Sunday morning meetings open for whoever likes to get up and speak, as long as they're one of the people who are accepted. You couldn't go and take communion or anything like that. But once you're accepted, then whoever likes can get up and speak and preach and minister. And I remember him saying, I learned a long time ago that I wasn't a preacher. And there's a lot of other people, and they would need to learn the same lesson. So many people, and they want to do one thing, and the Lord wants them to do another thing. My friend, there's a work for you. Could well be that you're here this morning and you have very little talent. Maybe in this visitation program, the Lord will bless you more than He's blessed anybody else. I think of a lassie we had back home in Ballymoney. She had some things a few other people had. She was strikingly beautiful. She was a lovely singer. But that was an end of her talents. So she said. An end of them. She didn't have the brains of other people. So she said. I'm not saying that, for I doubt it. But she didn't have the cleverness of others in her family. Her brother is a university graduate, I think just about to graduate now, the PhD in some way out subject. She could never do that. I'll tell you what she could do. You could take her to the hardest house in the district, and when she knocked the door, you could be almost certain that door would never be closed in her face. Now, if I knocked it, it would probably come off the hinges. If anybody else knocked it, they would certainly get nowhere. But when she went, she had a smile, I think the loveliest smile I've ever known anybody to have. When she smiled, her whole face lit up like heaven. And when even a bad rascal came to answer the door, as soon as the door opened and he was met with a big beaming smile and the most charming invitation. The hardest man in Ballymoney found that very hard to resist. You could be just like that. Could be that you can reach somebody that nobody else can reach. My friend, there's a place for you. Everybody's not a hand or a foot. If we were all hands or feet, where would the rest of the body be? Well, let's get our place from the Lord. And when you've got the Lord's command and you've received the Lord's word, then you can confidently look forward to the Lord's blessing. I'm trusting God for a mighty visitation of the Lord in this place. I believe there's a people here who have first got the vision. I don't believe that every Christian here has the vision. I'll be honest. I believe there are Christians still who are like tagging along, but they have not caught the vision. I pray God that you will. But there are others and they have got that vision of the Lord coming in power amongst His people. May the visitation soon follow. May the Lord Himself be now preparing us. May we be meeting with the Lord, so that then He will come in His fullness and power upon us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, give us the vision of blessing, we pray. Give us the vision of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Give us the vision, we pray, of a mighty revival. And Lord, grant us grace to spend time around the feet of Jesus, to spend time in seeing Him, in considering His sufferings, in being thrilled with His sovereign power. Lord, speak to us. And then we pray that Thou wilt truly visit us. Oh, visit us, Lord, with revival. Let it come, even this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.